So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I invite us to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your guiding us with your light and showing us the way of serving with grace and compassion and joy and peace, hopefully bringing comfort to one another and to others and strangers that we meet, for your mercy reaches out to all. So bless us in our words and our thoughts that we share today. In the name of Christ, amen. I wonder, anybody see the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, Winter Olympics? Yeah, well, you got up, it was early Saturday morning, wasn't it, or something like that? Or watch the replay. Yeah, all I saw of the opening ceremonies was that a little bit of the replay when the Olympic flame was, or the torch lit the Olympic flame and the structure and all that kind of stuff, and then the fire burned and the light was shining forth, all that kind of stuff. And the image of light coming from the sun is followed by the words. The words were there. Let the games begin. To see athletes display their hard work and their training and their life that they do and the activities and the events they share the next couple of weeks can be a lot of fun. So I begin with the words from the prophet Isaiah. There in our first reading is verse 9. It was, your light shall break forth like the dawn. Your light shall break forth like the dawn. So a bit of a context here. For a number of weeks, the brilliant light of a star has been and continues to shine. Each year on January 6th, remember January 6th was not a Sunday this year, but it was Epiphany Day. It always lands. Epiphany, which it lands on January 6th. It's always January 6th, the 13th day or 12th day, something like that, right after Christmas. And that's the manifestation of Jesus. Jesus is revealed. The Christmas season concludes, and this feast of the Epiphany is the day that the Christian church around the world celebrates and God being revealed, manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. On the first Sunday after the Epiphany, what happens? Our gospel reading is about Jesus being baptized. We can get into a whole discussion about the reason why Jesus had to be baptized or was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, the goodness of God, the great things that God does. But Jesus is revealed as this light of the star, like the light of the star that guided the Magi, the wise men, to Jesus. The light of Christ reveals who we are. Children of God, claimed and washed in the waters of baptism. And we too, as the people of God, are sent out to be beacons of light, of the light of Christ, sharing the good news of God's love for all people. So that's this Epiphany season, then this time after the Epiphany. And before we get to Isaiah 58, remembering Isaiah 42, chapter 42, in its verses 6 and 7, is important and critical. And that's where we see and we read the first of the servant songs from Isaiah, the beginning of Isaiah 42. The nation of Israel is pictured as the servant, the nation of Israel. And Isaiah declares the words of God the Lord. And please notice the gracious, compassionate, caring words of God. Isaiah writes, for God speaking now, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. That's the nation of Israel. The reason? To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And then Isaiah deals with the time shortly after the return of Israel from their exile in Babylon. You may remember that they were taken away and the people of God to Babylon. They were in exile there. And in about 490 BC, this was that section of Isaiah that was being written and spoken about. When the people are troubled, they're troubled by the ineffectiveness of their fast. They're fasting and doing all these things and practicing their worship life or devotion life or all those kinds of things with all their outward rituals and practices. And God, through Isaiah, reminds the nation of Israel, really warning them and all that stuff, the first eight verses there of that chapter 58, that outward observance and doing things like worshiping and trying to pretend, but going away from there and acting as, I'm going to be careful, people who sin, people who do their own thing. You can read that. They fight with their fists, or they fight and they argue and this and that and the other. Outward observance of their worship and devotion life is no substitute for what? For genuine fasting. Fasting that results in acts of justice, such as feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked. Regarding our readings today, there's an article written by a Lutheran pastor, Melinda Quivick. She writes, the cry of the prophet Isaiah and the pronouncements of Jesus in the gospel today, in Matthew's gospel, get right to the point. Pastor Melinda is from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the church that I'm rostered in, by the way. But I serve here as I've gone through a colloquy and with some folks here to serve in the church here, which I've appreciated that. But Pastor Melinda is a former professor of worship and preaching, a writer and editor-in-chief of the journal Liturgy, and a preaching mentor for pastors. She lives in Minnesota. You've heard about Minnesota recently, I guess. Maybe if you've seen some of the news. I can only imagine how disgusted she'd be, along with so many people in America and around the world, including me. I'm so disappointed and disgusted with all that's going on there, with that current oppressive, ruthless, and violent behavior of the ICE agents. I got to be careful not to get distracted. Isaiah is clear. The Lord does not desire their fastings, their almost like pretend worship, when they don't live out the meaning of what that's all about. Rather, the Lord desires kindness and justice. I'm reminded that the biblical understanding of justice is real, and the meaning of justice is giving people not what they deserve. It's not giving people what they deserve. It's giving, justice is giving people what they need. Think about that. Giving people what they need. Pastor Melinda writes that the cry of the prophet Isaiah and the pronouncements of Jesus teach us what it means to be disciples, that is, followers of Jesus. And Isaiah's listing of all the commendable actions in verses 1 through 8, I mean, there's warnings that all this this kind of fasting that doesn't result in right living and righteous acts that support and care for one another and for strangers alike. Isaiah's listing there of righteous acts, those commendable actions. Loose the bonds of injustice. Let the oppressed go free. Feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless. It might suggest that God is offering a conditional love. conditional love. What's that? It's a transactional statement. If you do this, then I will care for you. If then. It's all that if then stuff. If you do this, I'll reward you. I'll give you what you want. Maybe, but that's not what you need, sort of thing. Okay? So that's the thing. We got to be careful when we say to our our daughters when they're growing up, you do all the right things and then you'll get your ice cream or you'll get a reward at the end, right? Or to the grandchildren now, the same sort of stuff. If then. So you want to be really careful about that. Transactional statements create conditions that lead to so much bondage, so much lack of freedom, as well as a whole life of confusion and fear among people and even among Christians. I'm not good enough. I'm always doing the wrong thing. Well, yeah, we are. But there's a God who forgives, a God who's compassionate, a God who cares. Isaiah's actual statement in verse 9, you notice I read at the beginning. What did I say? Your light shall break forth like the dawn. And that's true. But the first word that starts that statement is then. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. When you practice genuine fasting of serving and caring and loving and all those, feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, all those kinds of things. It seems like another conditional statement. Yet in seminary, I learned a big thing I still remember and I really value. If then, it's not the idea of what's going on throughout the Old Testament. The word, instead of if then statements, it's because, therefore, because I've called you by name, therefore, you are mine, and you live in relationship, in the freedom and joy of the grace of God. Because you are mine, and I offer forgiveness, you're set free. So live in this relationship. That's the baptism gift. Baptism, by the way, is what day? Well, hopefully, Jesus remembered his, was baptized, and we remember that, and it's important to remember our baptism. It's a great event in our lives. It's when eternal life begins for us. We're welcomed into the kingdom of God. Welcome, my child, God says. We're welcomed into the kingdom of God. And from there, we grow into the relationship with this God, seeking to walk in God's ways. And guess what? We'll be imperfect people. We'll fall short. But God says, I'm still with you. I'm here for you all the way. I better get back to what's going on here. Because you've already received God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness, therefore you are blessed with strength and peace and courage to live, to serve, to love. So I was pleased to read Pastor Melinda continue her writing in that article. The list from Isaiah and from Jesus in Jesus' statements tell us we have already been given what we are needed to live in relationship with God. Discipleship isn't about obeying rules, but an orientation to justice, toward justice, which comes from worship of God. Being oriented to God's desire for a world at peace is the fruit of being salt and light. Salt and light. It's not easy. For we remember in Matthew's gospel, the gospel addresses a people who are under occupation from the Roman Empire. That's what's going on. The disciples have a responsibility to act toward freedom and justice, being salt, which, as we've mentioned before, alters what it touches without being changed itself. It enhances the life of others. For Matthew's Jesus, religion and politics, Pastor Melinda writes, religion and politics are not separated. God calls disciples to opt for this, not to opt for the sword, or to withdraw to their private ghettos. Neither violence, that is power over, nor retreat into one's own sphere leads to the world that God intends for all of creation. Pastor Melinda, just a little bit more here. She continues, and for something really important, going back to Isaiah. Isaiah refers to Israel as a light to the nations that will be for other nations a repairer. Repairer, that's the word used there. And restorer of streets to live in. Reminds me of the hymn. We have it in the Lutheran Hymnal Supplement. I thought about having it sing it today. It's there in the supplement. I don't know if you know that. But anyway, the Church of Christ in every age. Verse 2, across the world, across the street, the victims of injustice cry for shelter and for bread to eat and never live until they die. Verse 3, then let the servant church arise, a caring church that longs to be a partner in Christ's sacrifice and clothed with Christ's humanity. It's never easy. But God's power through the Spirit gives us that wisdom, that understanding, and as we worship and as we live this life that Jesus has already given to us is powerful. Is powerful. So yesterday, Isaiah exclaims, your light shall break forth like the dawn. Jesus declares, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And that you is second person plural. You, the church, salt of the earth, light for the world. Second person plural. The church together, the body of Christ. And for people like Lutherans and others in the church who focus in on this saved by grace, it's by grace you are saved, not by your works, not by what you do, but living into this relationship, you have the power to love and serve and share the grace of God. You know, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. You know, they're sweet and hopeful declarations. And Jesus is saying to the gathered community, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus doesn't say, you should be. Jesus doesn't say, you have to be, or you may become, or even you must. Jesus doesn't talk that way. That's not what the gospel's about. You are the salt of the earth. You already are the light of the world. And that's because God in Jesus Christ has done all the heavy lifting. It's a done deal. No conditions, no works righteousness. You are you already are the people of God, the body of Christ. We, the church, and yes, even us as individuals, we're called and we're invited to become the bread that you eat. Jesus in the world, alive today, through your presence, being present as Christ would be present to others. Become the bread that you eat. In other words, be who you are. Be who Christ has made you. The body of Christ. A body that loves one and all, neighbors near and far. And remember at baptism, the baptism service, that candle has been given to the newly baptized with the words, "Let your light so shine." It's right from the Gospel of Matthew 2. So before others, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Friends in Christ, salt of the earth, let your light shine. May it break forth like the dawn. Be who you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.